From the beginning, it has been the special doctrine of the adversary of God and man that the law of God was faulty and objectionable. He has ever represented the royal law of liberty as oppressive and unendurable. He has denoted it as a yoke of bondage. He has declared that it was impossible for man to keep the precepts of Jehovah. This has been and still is the work of Satan. Let us now go to part two, the controversy on earth. Satan carried the great controversy over God's law down to our own planet. Cast down to the earth, Satan instilled in the hearts of men his stubborn rebellion against the principles of heaven. Here's another quotation. The same spirit that prompted rebellion in heaven still inspires rebellion on earth. Satan has continued with men the same policy which he pursued with the angels. His spirit now reigns in the children of disobedience. Like him, they seek to break down the restraints of the law of God and promise men liberty through transgression of its precepts. The rest of that passage tells us this. Reproof of sin still arouses a spirit of hatred and resistance. When God's warnings touch the conscience, Satan leads men to resist, to justify themselves, to seek the sympathy of others, to excuse their sin. They turn and attack the reprover. Instead of changing their ways, they arouse indignation against the one who reproved them, as if he were the only problem. We see that today in our own denomination. From the days of Abel to our own time, this is the spirit which has been displayed toward those who dare to condemn sin. Just as he misrepresented God in heaven, so down here on earth, Satan still misrepresents him. Declaring that God is severe and tyrannical, Satan encourages men to sin. Then when they sin, he says it is God's unjust restrictions which caused man's fall and his own rebellion. In order to excuse their ongoing wickedness and win the sympathy of others, Satan and his followers declare that God, his law, and his inspired word, which contains his commands, are unreliable or not obeyable. Those who want a reason to justify sin are charmed into accepting such ideas. Their love of sin permits Satan into hypnotizing them into believing a lie. God's plan is to justify the sinner and take sin away from his life. Satan's plan is to justify sin and give humanity clever reasons why they should continue indulging it. Great Controversy, 498, tells us that the problems which he had stirred up in heaven, Satan charged upon the government, the law, and the government of God. He declared that it was the divine administration which was causing the evil. Satan claimed it was his objective to improve the laws of heaven. Satan said that God's laws should make allowance for sin. Can you imagine that? Therefore, it was necessary that Satan be given time, that he should be able to demonstrate the nature of his claims and show the working out of his proposed changes in the law. Satan's own work must condemn him. He had claimed from the first that he was not in rebellion, but the whole universe must see him unmasked. It was necessary for Satan to be given time so that everyone could clearly see the devastating fruit of his strange new theology. Another passage in Great Controversy tells us this. For the good of the entire universe, through ceaseless ages, Satan must be given time to develop his principles so that his charges against the divine government might be clearly seen by everyone. Only then could the justice and the mercy of God and the unchangeable nature of his law be placed beyond all question. Satan's experiment in sin would be a lesson to the universe through all coming ages. Thank God. It would be a perpetual testimony to the nature, the terrible results of sin. The effects of Satan's rule upon both men and angels would show what must be the fruit, ever the fruit, of setting aside God's authority. Only then could all the universe know for a certainty that with the existence of God's government and His law is bound up the well-being of all His creatures. The history of this terrible experiment of rebellion would be an eternal safeguard to all holy intelligences to prevent them from being deceived. Never again would they be deceived by sin. Satan was determined to wrest our world from the hand of God. In order to accomplish that objective, he resorted to the same lie he had used to overcome legions of angels in heaven. But the Father and the Son were determined to save man. Oh, thank you, sweet Father in heaven, that you were. On this earth, Satan sought to carry forward the work that he began in heaven. He declared that man could not obey the law of God. The Son of God, heaven's glorious commander, was touched with pity for the fallen race. He entered into a covenant with God to save man, to vindicate his Father's character as expressed in the law. He came to the earth in the form of man to refute Satan's lie that God had given a law which man could not keep. Satan hoped to yet prove to the universe that his lies about God's laws were true. Satan declared that he would prove to the worlds which God had created and to the heavenly intelligences that it was an impossibility to keep the law of God. His plan of action was simple enough. He told men they could not obey God's requirements. But whatever the excuse that men offer, by accepting Satan's lie, they agree with him. Do you want to agree with the devil? Do you want to dishonor your Father in heaven? Do you want to call him a liar when he has said in his word you should obey him? And then Satan taunted the angels and God with the sins of men, declaring that he was right after all. Remember, my friend, remember that the next time you are tempted to sin. The plan of Satan was by lying philosophies to widen the breach that existed between God and man. He argued that man could not keep the law of God. Here's another. Satan was urging upon men the belief that there was no reward for the righteous or punishment for the wicked, and that it was impossible for men to obey the divine statutes. Actually, the more men sinned, the more Satan gloated. Their disloyalty to heaven he used as ammunition in his campaign to prove that God was indeed unjust and cruel. When Adam sinned, Satan rejoiced. Here's a statement. Satan, the fallen angel, had declared that no man could keep God's law, and he pointed to the disobedience of Adam as proving the declaration true. Here's another. Satan had pointed to Adam's sin as proof that God's law was unjust and could not be obeyed. And another, declaring that no human being can keep the law of God, the law of God's kingdom, Satan claims all men as his subjects. So there is the basis of Satan's claim of you as his subject. He wants to put the chains on, my friend. He wants to put the chains on. And the excuse is, if you will but say, I cannot keep the law of God, he puts the chains on. Remember that the next time you're tempted to sin. The life of Cain is another example. It witnessed to the terrible evils which would result from standing on Satan's side of the great controversy. Quoting now, in sparing the life of the first murderer, God presented before the whole universe a lesson bearing upon the great controversy. The dark history of Cain and his descendants was an illustration of what would have been the result of permitting the sinner to live on forever, to carry out his rebellion against God. And then we have the life of Abel. What a strong contrast to the life of Cain. The life of Abel testified to the truth that God had provided a means whereby men could obey his law. By his conduct, He honored God. Will you and I today covenant with God to honor him also? Quoting, "The holy life of Abel testified against Satan's claim that it is impossible for man to keep God's law." Thank God for men like Seth and Enoch and Abel. Enoch was another example that through the grace of Christ, men could obey all the requirements of heaven. And now God would demonstrate to the universe the falsity of Satan's charge that men could not keep God's law. He would demonstrate that though man had sinned, he could so relate himself to God that he would have the mind and the spirit of God. This holy man, Enoch, was selected to denounce the wickedness of the world and to give evidence that man can keep the law.